The Bitcoin Standard Toolkit is a selection of Bitcoin services I recommend to my readers and learners on SaferDean.com as they upgrade their monetary operating system from the fiat standard to the Bitcoin standard. These companies are NYDIG, a leading full-service financial services firm dedicated to Bitcoin, applying institutional wisdom and ingenuity to help clients access the unrealized potential of this emerging asset class. NYDIG offers the full suite of solutions needed for financial institutions to access Bitcoin, including custody, execution, financing, treasury solutions, integration partnerships, and more. The team behind NYDIG brings decades of experience in the financial markets and passion for sound money to help provide the rails that will bring about a move to the Bitcoin standard. I have been working as a consultant for NYDIG for 2 years now, and I'm very impressed with their vision, focus, and execution. Go to NYDIG.com to learn more. CipherSafe. To secure your Bitcoins, it is important to keep your seed phrase backed up safely, and for that, I highly recommend using the CipherWheel Seed Storage Device, a gorgeous and brilliant sturdy piece of low-time preference engineering from a fourth-generation machine shop in Maine. The Cypher Wheel is machined from solid stainless steel, and its unique and elegant design is inspired by secret decoder rings, as well as legendary mechanical engineer Franz Rouleau and the golden age of machine design. If you've read the Bitcoin Standard, you'll know I think the late 19th century was a golden age for many facets of human advancement because of hard money. Bitcoin is bringing hard money back, and our friends at CypherSafe are giving Bitcoin the low time preference machines it deserves from the golden age of design. Go to CypherSafe.io to get the Cypher Wheel for your Bitcoins. OKCoin. Whenever someone asks me how to invest in Bitcoin, my advice is to accumulate Bitcoins periodically for the long run, or what is called dollar cost averaging. When you buy every day, week, or month, you channel Bitcoin's volatility to your advantage. In the long run, this strategy will outperform every other Bitcoin investment strategy, probably, except for amazing luck, perhaps. The best place to do recurring purchases is OKCoin because they have the lowest fees for recurring Bitcoin purchases you will find anywhere. If you're stacking sats for the long run, every sat matters, and the fees with each purchase will add up. That's why I recommend you buy at the lowest cost possible from OKCoin. OKCoin is also the Bitcoin exchange available in the most countries around the world, so it will hopefully be accessible for you wherever you are. Go to OKCoin.com to get started with your stacking. Noddle 1. As discussed in the Bitcoin Standard, Bitcoin is controlled by the nodes that operate its software. It is only through consensus between nodes that the Bitcoin blockchain continues to live, and it is only by running a Bitcoin node that you are part of this consensus and can verify the validity of the transactions you receive and the ownership of your coins. Whenever anyone asks me what are the most important warning signs that something is wrong with Bitcoin, I always answer the following. If the number of Bitcoin nodes is declining, and or the cost of running a node is rising significantly. I believe it is really important to run a node, but I don't recommend running it on your work or personal computer as it can compromise the performance of your computer and, more importantly, the security and privacy of your Bitcoin node. A far better solution is to buy a dedicated hardware node, and for that, I highly recommend Noddle. Manage all your Bitcoin activity, such as Lightning or BTC Pay server, and isolate them from your personal computer by putting them into one dedicated device that is always running and does one thing only, Bitcoin. Become a first-class Bitcoin citizen by running your own Noddle node, available at noddle.it, and that's spelled N-O-D-L.it. Finally, Cold Card. My hardware wallet of choice is the Cold Card. I strongly recommend only conducting Bitcoin trades on computers that are dedicated to Bitcoin and cannot connect to the internet. I like the Cold Card because it is a contained machine optimized for Bitcoin and Bitcoin only. Cold Card is basically a small computer that can only do Bitcoin, which makes securing it more straightforward. Use the code BitcoinStandard on coldcardwallet.com to get a 5% discount.
Thank you very much, everybody, for hosting me, and thank you to Bitcoin Austria and to National Bank. It's really a pleasure to be in Vienna, particularly a pleasure for me, for those of you who've read my book, because I'm extremely influenced by Austrian economists, and that's why I insisted on trying to make this the first stop on my book tour. So the topic of my book is Bitcoin, and in particular it's about the idea that Bitcoin is emerging as a new monetary standard. Bitcoin is becoming something like the gold standard, and that's why the title of the book comes from that, the Bitcoin standard, similar to the gold standard. So I'm not going to obviously summarize the entire book, but I'm just going to drop a few of the main ideas that I make in the book so that we can have an open discussion around them. The first concept that I discuss in terms of trying to understand what is it that makes Bitcoin money is to understand what is it that makes anything money. Why does money come around? And there's the first seven chapters of my book do not even mention Bitcoin almost entirely, because they discuss money in general. And we look at the history of money over time, what gets chosen as money, what stops being used as money, why do things go from being used as money to stopping being used as money. And I think, in my opinion, the argument that I make is that the most important factor that determines whether something can be used as money today or in the last couple of thousand years is the fact that it is hard to produce. If something is easy to produce, people use it as money, others will produce more of it, and then the price of it will come crashing down, and then it becomes a useless store of value. If it's hard to produce, people use it as money, they store their value in it, the price goes up, it's hard for others to produce more of it and then bring the price down. So this is why, if we look historically, we find that the best forms of money were always the hardest to make. In places where seashells were rare to find, rare seashells were used as money. In places where cattle initially was used as money because it's hard to make. If we look at limestones or all sorts of things that in any particular location were used as money, there was always a way or a physical or a political mechanism of restraining the supply growth. That's really the key point. And whenever we find an example of several forms of money interacting, usually what ends up happening is, or almost always what ends up happening is, what survives as money is whatever is hardest to produce. Because if you have several forms of money interacting with one another, then people who store their money in the money that is easy will lose all of their wealth over time because the money continues to get to produced more and more of it, and then the supply of it increases, and so the supply and so the value drops. So historically, we find that gold became money for this very important reason, which is that the supply growth of gold is the lowest of all the metals because, number one, it's very rare in earth, but even more importantly, gold does not ruin. And because it doesn't ruin, that means that the current supply that we have around the world has been stockpiled over thousands of years. And so even if production were to increase next year, it will only be a small little fractional addition to all the thousands of years of stockpiles that we've piled up. In other words, the potential for the supply of gold to grow as a response to increased demand for gold is the lowest of all other metals. Therefore, it's a hard money. Therefore, gold was the hardest money that humanity had ever had because the supply grows every year at around between 1 and 2%. That's it. You know, no matter what happens to the gold price, the mining output of gold is always around 1 or 2% of stockpiles. And that's what I think makes gold money over many, many years, because nobody could ever guarantee such a low supply growth. Now, if we move and look at government monies, we find the same story. Currencies whose governments print a lot of them, whose supply increases a lot, they lose their value quickly, and then people move towards the harder currencies whose supply increases less and less. So the main currencies of the world, like the dollar and the euro and the Swiss franc, and the most commonly used around the world, you find that the annual supply growth of these currencies is around 3% per year, 5%, 7%, something like that. Whereas, you know, the currencies that are always witnessing crises and inflation, you find that the supply growth there is 10, 20, 30, 50, maybe even much more. And so we have this dynamic over time always, and it's partly due to human psychology that people can recognize that, you know, gold is a better store of value than copper, but it's also not just human psychology, it's also natural market selection. It's just people who choose the better money end up with more wealth in the long run. People who choose the worse money end up with less wealth in the long run. Enter Bitcoin. Why is Bitcoin important here? Because Bitcoin has, in the next few years, in about 4 or 5 years, Bitcoin will have the lowest supply growth of anything that has ever been used as money. And it will be reliably lower. Right now, the supply growth of Bitcoin is around 4% per year, which is a little bit more than double of the supply growth rate of gold. But in about 4 or 5 years, it'll drop below that, and then the supply will continue to grow at a lower rate until it stops completely.